up, everybody? You know what it is. Episode 2 of the Bougie Podcast.
Yes, sir.
Back with myself, Jordan Campbell, also known as The Espresso on Instagram. Follow me. But yeah, Jordan Campbell of Bougie Reviews, back with Adam Glenn.
Word.
And we're just here to get into it. I don't know. Last time we talked, we were at Photoville. But yeah, no, so it's been a slow, kind of long week. I did some cool shit. Let me start off. I went to the opening night of the New York Film Festival, 55th Ooh. New York Film Festival,
okay,
which was dope. What was the opening night film? It was Last Flag Flying by Richard Linklater.
Okay.
And it had like, who was it? Lawrence Fishburne was in it, Bryan Cranston, who actually did a really good job in it, and Steve Carell, who did like, you know.
Oh, you were telling me about
Steve Carell did one of his like solemn turns, you know, like outside of the comedy realm. But
yo, shout to Steve Carell. He's been doing a lot of that lately. Yeah. Like, yeah, and doing a damn good job of it too. Yeah.
You know what amazes me about you?
Well, could be anything. I'm a pretty amazing guy.
You turn the keys to your bar over to the guy who's asleep on your pool table, and then you jump in your car and you drive me to hell and gone, and you don't even know where we're going.
Well,
yeah, no, he definitely did his shit in the film. I think, like, you know, he's presented as the lead, but I feel like the lead is really Cranston. He, like, steals every scene he's in.
He does that.
Yeah. and his character is, like, you know, Carell's kind of just, like, has gotten old. Lawrence Fishburne's, like, a priest now. And, like, Cranston's the only one that kind of has, like, cool things. Like, they give him a lot of cool things to say, and he, like, makes you laugh and stuff like that. But right. His character, he definitely steals a lot of scenes, but... You know, he shows a lot of the young soldiers and the new soldiers, and he plays on that. Or the new soldiers and the older vets.
Right,
he plays
and then on that the passage dynamic of time between the friends.
Exactly.
And, like, the similarities between past and present and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, so, like, those themes are, like, all over that movie.
Right.
And I think, you know, probably just maybe, like, half an hour too long, but definitely, you know, a good film. I think it comes out in November. Nah, it's, like, 2 hours.
Okay.
I think it's, like, maybe just, like, 2 hours and change.
But just a half-hour drag.
Yeah, you know, like, a lot of it, after a while, starts to feel kind of skiddy. Like, he's just,
like he's,
you know,
like,
finding reasons to draw
this.
Out this story. Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, they run a car, and they're on a train. It's like, you know, it could have been cut around the edges a little bit, for sure. But, you know.
Trim it down.
Trim it down, always, guys. But acting-wise, like, that's what's on display.
Right.
Like, it's all acting.
Okay.
The after party after the film was dope was at Tavern on the Green.
Nice.
Definitely.
Did you meet people? Were there people there?
I don't know. I met one of the actors. What's his name? Let me Google it real quick.
Oh, man. Forgot his name.
Like, you know what? Because, look, so many other people were there, too. Like, Linklater was there.
Oh, shit.
Ethan Hawke was there.
Nice.
And, like, all these other people were there. I think Cranston was somewhere, but I didn't see him.
Nice.
But, like, I think, like, the guy that I did see, he was the only one, like, I felt comfortable
chatting
enough
with
to like be like, yo, I thought
you
did
dude.
It. Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, and everyone else was just so like,
yeah, you know, high
mega
society.
Yeah,
exactly.
I will say that I don't want to blow up anybody's spot, but Ethan Hawke was there, mad sauced. I saw him leaving with like three chicks. Like,
nice.
And he wasn't even in the film, but apparently, like as far as like film parties with open bars in New York City go, like he's gonna be like at all of them. So that's what I've been hearing. But
that's crazy.
Let me see. I'm gonna look up this guy's name right now. Who was there? I told him he did a great job.
Was he like a principal or was he like?
He was like the lead. Like, he was like the only young soldier. So he was Steve Carell's son who died. He was like his best friend.
Oh, okay.
So like they got to talking a lot, and he ends up like traveling with them with the body of the son for a while. Only black guy besides Lawrence Fishburne in the film. So he's the young voice of the, you know, the new generation of soldiers and stuff like that. What is his name? And he's the only black guy and everybody wants him. But
that's not Michael B. Jordan.
Nah, he's not in that.
No, I'm just saying. Like,
oh.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. It's like one black, popping black actor is like, then it's like already the market is oversaturated.
Exactly.
Right? Don't give anybody
it's
else
like
a
there's
shot,
another
you know?
Guy.
Yeah. What's his name? But nah, you know, he may be primed to be the next guy. Like,
right. You never know.
I can't find his name right now, but I'm gonna find it. But yeah, so no, that was cool. Tamara, like, I'm not used to situations like that, like functions where as soon as you walk in, they hand you a bottle, not a bottle, but a glass of champagne, stuff like that. Like,
how bad were tickets?
I mean, I got the Lincoln Center plug. I work for the Film Society, so like that was literally the only reason I got a ticket. Because it's not like tickets aren't sold. It's kind of just like
it's like you get one. It's VIP, in, yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, mad like security with earpieces on. Like, just a bunch of stuff I had never seen. You know what I mean? Like, right. And just doing like. Doing dumb stuff like, oh, like getting a drink. I don't like this drink. Putting it back, like something else. You know what I mean? So
bougie shit. Real
exactly,
bougie shit.
Like I remember we were like, I went with my girlfriend and we had like, I think I had a bottle of ginger ale and she had a bottle of water and we were walking into Tavern on the Green and she's like, should we go in here with these like plastic bottles? And I was like, yeah, I don't know. That's not really. That's very off brand. But then I was like, that's how you know that we're bougie because. A real, like, actual, like, rich dude. He would walk in there with a Bex if he wants to. Like, yeah, right? I mean? Like, so that was definitely, like, a bougie moment we experienced. But, you know, your boy's getting into those rooms. I was right? in the room, yo, as they say, right? Like, in the industry.
That's
you know
all
what
it
I mean?
Takes, yo. Just bump that right shoulder and exactly. then it's over. Like,
but, you know, please, the New York Film Festival is still going on. You know, go look it up. Look up the slate of films that they're playing. If one of them interests you, you know, there's a shit ton of talks and events and stuff that they're also doing, but yeah, I mean, that's really what's been up with me besides work, you know what I mean? The casual regular film teaching job, yeah. You know, what's good with you, man?
Man, I don't know. I've been having some, I got like weird jobs, I've been like doing some interesting stuff, but I did some background work, on an upcoming film. It's called After Party. Can't talk too much about it, but
I heard that you mentioned there was somebody on set. I remember you sent Adam sent me a text when he was on the set and was like, yo,
and for that one person there was like two more people. Yeah. Like, yeah, it was crazy. Like, yo, if you want to bump shoulders and like meet cool people, yo, do background work, man. You never fucking know. Like, you might meet some really cool people that you would never meet, like,
yeah,
you know what I mean. Like, I ain't gonna drop no names, but like, I'm gonna start dropping names.
Yeah, that's the thing. New Yorker, like, after a while, like, I'm plugged in. I'm gonna start.
Yo, Charlamagne the God was in the building.
Gotta put the Bob sound
right. That ass. And then, you know, Wiz Khalifa was there. We had a
Are
young
they in this movie.
Yeah, it's weird. Okay. Like, and we had a young dude like Ski Mask, some young up and coming rapper. Shout
yeah,
out to Ski
I heard
Mask.
About him.
Like,
Ski
yeah.
Mask, Slump God.
I don't really like know. Yeah. I know he got a tat over his eye. He was wearing a fly-ass Louis jacket. So you know, like shout to him. Like, you
apparently
know what I mean?
He's the next SoundCloud rapper that's about to like.
Oh well, nah. Well. That's what I was gonna say. Like, they had him do like a little small little like end of his set.
Okay. Because
we were like, it was like a concert vibe. I don't want to say too much before I get fined. But like, yeah, like, yo, he performed a little bit of his music. It was dope. Like, you know, I was like, okay, like this could rock. Like. It was interesting though. It was a good night. Like, it was a long ass night.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, ran to like 2 a.m. But I mean, it was solid. You know, you saw some people. It was cool. Like, you right up on them. Like, you know.
Yeah.
Dudes is like standing right next to Wiz, and everybody's hype trying to get a tote of his weed and shit. Talking about the Khalifa Kush. It was like, you know, it was eventful. It was interesting, and like, you know, you definitely can meet new people. So. Without saying too much, that's kind of what's been going on with me, other than, like, you know, some photography work, you know, regularly.
Always
little,
doing that.
You know, flexing muscles with that. But, yeah, you know.
It's interesting that you say, though, like, bumping shoulders with these guys, because I was having a conversation the other day. A friend of mine has a family member moving to the city, also looking, they're in the filmmaking industry, aspiring director, but they're looking for an agent right now. They're, like, 2 years older than us, and my whole thing is like, look, I don't really know how agents work. I don't have an agent. But when you come into the city, a city like this, I have been wanting to make this industry my career for a little while now. And like, naturally, I find myself sort of plugged in to a certain extent. And what I would say to anyone coming to the city trying to be a filmmaker is like, don't necessarily get an agent right away. Just get in the scene.
Yo, kinda. But
that's how I feel. But you had an agent.
Nah, wait, hold on, wait.
So I'll
say this much, like, yo, Jordan is mad nonchalant. Like, this nigga does a really good job of like keeping abreast of his industry. Like, I don't know any, like, yo, I've met mad filmmakers. This is like, besides being friends from childhood, like, this is one of the reasons why I work with him, because like. dead ass, like, yo, I met mad people, mad filmmakers. Like, as an actor, you go through this in the city. Like, yo, everybody wants to, like, do a project. Mm. And it's, like, that's just how people approach you. But, like, no one knows shit about the industry. Like, no one knows shit about their industry, what's happening, anything. Like, yo, movies, nothing. Like, but people want to make films or be in films or act or whatever. But, like, every time I sit down with this kid, like, yo, there's some new something. I went somewhere. I was doing something. All film or photography related, all related to his art. Like, yo, that's the grind. Like, you got to stay on it. And yo, whether he gets an agent or not, doing that alone is, like, is going to be a better push. Because when he bumps into those people that you need to bump into, like, he'll have the vocabulary and the background and the, you know, the information to have a basic conversation with these people. And that's what you need, because once they see that you're an asset in some way, or that even there's some camaraderie, they're more willing to help you than if you're just like, please, like, pull your pants down. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
and my other thing is, like, do agents really, like, at this level, at least, you know what I mean? Someone that's 25 years old doesn't necessarily, like, no one's calling them. Are agents really going to help them that much? I mean, feel like agents want clients that, I feel like agents want
agents,
a client that people are trying to get in touch with already. You know what I mean? They don't want to call people for you.
This is the breakdown of agents. Agents want one thing, and that is money. Yeah. Period. The end, right? If you're a client of an agent and they can make money off you, you'll most likely get work. I mean, or you'll get opportunities to get work. So basically what an agent does is they sort of validate your claim to a production as an actor, at least, right? So basically, what an agent does is they'll look for work for you. So they'll go out and see what you fit, you know, maybe the direction you think you should go in. If you have a great agent that really is willing to work with you, they'll take your consideration and what you want to do. But most agents are just going to say, okay, you fit this type and look, go. Like, this is going to make me X amount of money, go, right? And if you can make them money, if you can book these roles, they'll keep calling you. So the only benefit you have is coming in the door. If I want to go for, like, a Hollywood something, right, and I have a viable agent and I'm a nobody, you know, my agent alone, having that agent, he's gonna, like, he's my middleman to kind of, like, lay the groundwork and plead my case, in other words, for me getting this role. He can say to the director, look, he did this, this guy was here, this guy was there. All I can do as an actor is walk in a room, do my bit, and go. Mm-hmm. You know, my agent does all that other stuff for me. Where if you don't have an agent, you don't have that, and then you have less credibility. You have to knock it out the park in the room, and even then, you still might not get it because they don't know how you work under pressure and blah, 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 where your agent kind of shops all that for you. So that's really what an agent does. So, like, agent isn't make or break, but it's a lot of, like, hoops and avenues. It's better, in my opinion, to know somebody. Like, that's
get in the scene. Yeah. There's a scene here.
Oh, man.
That it's like, you know, to a certain extent, an agent won't get you into it.
Right.
You know what I mean?
An agent alone. Like,
he's not going to get you in Tavern on the Green at the after party in New York Film Festival. I'll tell you that much.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, that's not even a flex. That's
he's trying to get there. Yeah. He's trying to go. Exactly. So he can meet viable talent. So he can make more money. You know what I mean? It's a money scheme. And so, like, that's the whole thing about, like, knowing what agents need who on their roster. And if you don't fit that, don't approach that agent because he's not going to care. Like, he might have that slot filled with a more viable actor than you. So it's like, it's a lot of that shit. So it's like, yo, make friends, know people, do quality work so that, like, when you meet the people that you can meet, you know, for these things, you have something to show. And then, you know, you develop a relationship based upon good work and, you know, a love for the same sort of shit. So, you know, that's really what it is. And, like, being on the scene is important. Like, you got to do that so that, you know, people know that, you know, that's what you're here to do, you know?
Yeah.
Yo, if you're in New York and you're an artist and or you're coming to New York, yo, that's, don't worry about all the technical shit so much. Get that out of the way. Like, get all the paperwork, your headshots, all that good shit, whatever you need, whether you're actor, director, filmmaker, whatever. Get all that shit, but then just get out, meet people, do the shit you like to do, like, just be consistent
New York is a very capitalist city, but to a certain extent, currency won't get you everywhere when it comes to this. You know what I mean? Before you get an agent, meet a shooter. You know what I mean? Meet a DP. Meet an actor.
Yeah.
Meet a screenwriter. You know, it's like there is a New York currency that isn't monetary.
Right.
It's,
yo, jump on a podcast. Come say what's up. Like, yo, do some work with a nigga. Listen, like, the door is open. You know what I mean? For real, like, right. I've been trying to grab up friends that I know that do this shit. Like, I just ran into my friend Steven not too long ago. I told him, like, yo, he mentioned seeing Adam. He said it was dope. I said, yo, don't you do film? Like, come check us out. Like, yes. Come say what's up. Because, you know, that's how shit happens. You never know, like, who knows who and, like, what shit'll transpire. So, you know, it's about being consistent. This is episode 2 of a podcast we've been trying to get off the ground since last year. So, you know what I mean? It's the consistency, though. So, like, that's all that really matters. Like,
listen, like the GOAT said, never come when you want, but I'm on time.
Yo!
Might not come when you want, but I'm on time.
Yo, hey. That's like, it's what it is. So, yeah.
Man. And I'm looking, like, there's definitely a few people that, like, once we get a few episodes under the pocket that I want to have on and want to have, like, just adding their voice to the show. Like, definitely photographers, filmmakers, screenwriters that I just, like, respect their work so much. And they're going to be here. And if you're listening to this, like, I'm going to hit you up. Word. I was going to hit somebody up for this week, but I was like, let's get, like, a stable episode. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like,
let's get a weekend. Let's get some stability first.
Exactly. Then, you know what I mean? Before we start introducing
that's a fact.
Voices. But yeah, you know, so that's our agent's spiel / New York filmmaking spiel.
Yeah, that's what's been going on. That's what's up recently between the two of us.
Yeah, and to a certain extent, it's like you gotta be with anything. You have to be a student of the game. So, you know, go to the movies and don't just go to like AMC. Go to Metrograph and go to Film Forum.
There's so many cool theaters. You know what I mean?
Where you'll meet, places where filmmakers go to the movies.
Yeah,
places where people that like love movies go because, you know, there's theaters that offer you different experiences.
Fuck 42nd Street, Regal, and AMC. Like, don't go there. Like, there's mad gum on the seats, man. Yo, fuck that
and
shit.
Like, now that I've been going to all these, like, you know, Metrograph, Angelica, City Cinemas, like, I realize how, like, shittily, like, these huge multiplexes are projecting their shit.
Oh,
like, sometimes the projections are dim. The
sound
is, like,
shitty in there.
Sound is bad. It's like,
oh my God.
You really don't realize how much work certain theaters put into just, like, the projection and the audio of, you know, whatever they're screening when you go to, like, some other theaters and you're like, you can tell they don't even fucking care.
Yeah, yo, it was like the conversation I was having. I was playing like some Black Sabbath, right? Some like prog rock. Shout out to anybody that fucks with Black Sabbath or prog rock, right? So I was playing some prog rock and I was at the pet shop that I work at. And I had a customer. He's like, yo, like you jamming some old shit. And I'm like, yeah. And he's like, yeah, you know, those guys, they really used to do some, like, dynamic shit. If you ever listen to the Beatles with, like, headphones in, like, yeah, like, you know, they did crazy shit. It's not the same experience if you have, like, you know, speakers, like, you know, mono speakers. And I was like, yo, that's definitely true because that's just, you know, you have to get, like, to appreciate the quality of certain art forms, you have to get quality equipment or a quality experience, and sometimes that's going to better theaters, that's going, like, you know, it's buying better speakers or headphones or whatever, better equipment, so you can really appreciate the shit.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
That's why I can't even fuck around and like, if I want to see a movie in IMAX, I'm going to Lincoln Center IMAX,
right.
You know what I mean? Like, I'm going to that AMC,
right?
Because all the other IMAX are like fake IMAXs, but
for real?
Yeah, yo, like the 42nd Street 30, like all those IMAXs besides the one on 72nd Street are like smaller than the 72nd Street IMAX.
That's
like,
crazy.
It's pretty wild. But I mean, you know, yeah, just like get in the scene, go out, watch films.
What's
you know
that
what
spot
I mean?
at by St. Mark's? What's that one called? They're doing some cool shit.
Well, IFC?
No. That's like by West 4th. The one that's like, the one that was showing Hateful Eight in 70 Mill.
Oh, City Cinemas East.
Oh, that's
is that
City
one, right?
As
it's
well?
It's one of their, it's one of the City
Damn,
Cinemas.
Damn, shout out to City Cinema.
For
they're
real.
Killing it. Because
City
it,
Cinemas,
yo.
Low key, they had like,
they have mad spots.
And they're all good.
They're
like, they
all
have City
good.
Cinemas 1, 2, 3, City Cinemas East. They also have
they have one on 86 that's like one. I just saw it at that one and it was alright. Yeah, yeah.
But they have, they have the Beekman Theater too, that's also theirs. Okay. And the Parish Theater.
Damn, they got mad shit. Yeah,
like, and I think they, I don't know if they, cuz I was like actually like applying to work there. So I went through a few interviews. They, I think they have Angelica as well.
For real?
That's theirs? So I think the dude mentioned like, oh, like we may be sending you out to Angelica. Mm. Blah, blah. I don't think I'm gonna work at City Cinemas 123 anymore, but still my favorite theater to go to.
Yo, like, they're good.
I don't even wanna put out the specials they have because I don't want people going there.
Right? Like, yo, it's like
I like to go there, it's in the empty theater.
For real.
You
yeah.
know what I mean?
And I saw Mother there and it was like
that's where I saw Mother
yeah,
as well.
Yeah, it was dope.
Did you see it again yet?
Nah, I wanna see it again. Yeah. I gotta see it again. I was just talking about it too, like yo, I gotta beat it again.
Yeah, yeah. Mother is probably finally faded out of my system. It took a while. That's why, for whatever you want to say about it, it was a successful film because it's now just like
After all
fading.
That time,
yeah, you know what I mean. Like it's digested.
It was relevant.
Yeah, it took
all
a while.
That time, yeah.
For sure.
Yo, like, you want to get into these? Let's get into these trailers.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. So we didn't see anything yet, like movies wise, but
I mean, I saw It, which was
oh,
like,
yeah, you saw It.
Yes, please.
You look like a nice boy.
Do you want a balloon too, Georgie?
I'm not supposed to take stuff from strangers.
Oh, well, I'm Pennywise the Dancing Clown. Now we aren't strangers, are we?
I should get going now.
Without your boat? Here. Take it.
It was a little... There was some things, like, I guess director-wise that I didn't like. There was, like, some strangeness going on. Like, there was a lot of... It was jumpy as hell, kind of. And then also, like... I don't know. They made it a thing to, like... They were, like... I don't know how to explain this, but, like, as an actor, it was bugging me. Like, yo, like, they would refer to it as it, like, kind of, like, not knowing what something is. Like, if I was referring to your hat over there, I'd be like, oh, it's on the couch. Yeah. Like, but they'd be like, it's on the couch. Yeah. Like, no, like, you don't know what that shit is called. Yeah, yeah. Like, you know what I mean? And, like, they just, like, were so... aware of the fact that it was it, even though, you know, its name is Pennywise.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But still, like, the way that they referred to it was like, it was
like
weird.
It, like,
yeah,
was
like
its name or something.
Yeah, okay. Like, it was weird. And I was like, no, this sounds forced. Like, that wasn't established yet. Like, we were still trying to figure out what it was. Yeah, you know what I mean? So, I mean, there was that, which kind of was like small. Maybe nobody else will notice it, but like, there was that. And then I think they. The book is 1,200 pages.
Okay. Yeah, and Stephen King always has.
And so, like, they tried to squeeze 1,200 pages worth of work in a 2.5 or maybe 2-hour film, and it just didn't. It didn't, like, there was a couple characters, and we were like, "What the fuck? Like, why were they there?" Like, it's like you can't tell the story sort of without them because that would just be an incompletion.
Yeah.
But like. They also sort of serve no purpose because their arcs went nowhere. Like, they didn't have any arc. Like, they established them and then they kind of just left them alone. Yeah. Like, you know what I mean? And they had to jump around, I think, between 7 kids.
Yeah.
So each kid had their own story and experience, and it was sort of like a coming-of-age story.
Yeah.
And, like, you sort of see the beginnings of their story and then it fizzles into
nothing. Isn't that what, like, isn't Stand By Me... sort of like, because that's a Stephen King book.
I was gonna say the movie.
the movie. Okay. I think there's like a Stephen King book called Stand By Me. With
I think so. Yeah, yeah.
And I think it's like it's supposed to be the same kids from It. Like it's like a continuation.
It too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, but it's like it's not It, but it's kind of supposed to be those kids. I think. I don't know. I know they are doing a sequel to this It.
Oh, I don't doubt it. Yeah. I don't doubt it. But yeah, I mean, it was, yeah, go see It. I mean, you know, it's a good thriller. It has like, check it out. Why not? I don't want to put a cap on it. So go check out It. You know, it's going to be a classic, I think. It's a remake of a classic. So go check it out just for the nostalgic experience.
I mean, nostalgia is like, you know, like this is a film that I don't know if it could have happened like this without Stranger Things coming into fray. You know what I mean? And like,
are a lot of the actors from that?
No, but okay. I think it's just like
the child
that child Goonies, was sort it 80s 90s feel?
It was 70s.
Okay, so
70s,
like
70s
you know,
80s feel.
Yeah, and like the kids riding bikes in the cul-de-sac. It's I feel all like Stranger that. Things yeah. sort of made people realize that they missed that because we hadn't seen something like that since like very reminiscent of the Goonies, E.T.,
for
stuff
sure.
like that.
Yeah.
Like, and I think Stranger Things making that cool again sort of almost
gave
like fast forwarded the IT process because I know that was something that they were was like
planning
without they were planning, but like it didn't have that form before Stranger
they,
Things.
They jumped, they caught the, they were trying to catch the wave of Stranger, and they kind of missed it just by a hair, but I think it still came off. You know, I think I think they build it. I think between that and like last Halloween, having all this like clown hysteria.
Yeah. That
shit
kicked it off for
My
and
God.
I think it was like about how do we like make this like the like how do we play on that and like give it a story, you know, that's like that also will bring people to the theaters to see it because people were gonna see the it shit off the clown hysteria that was happening.
Right,
like,
yeah.
That's when they actually started talking about it.
Right.
And then I think, you know, with Stranger Things and the kids format came into play. But it's also a book, you know, and it's hard to adapt Stephen King work.
Oh, man. He writes so much and so vividly that, like, you'd have to... Yeah, it's. I think it's hard to adapt any book to film very accurately. It's very rarely done. Most people, like, that read books before seeing movies tend to hate the movies. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I think that's also just left up to the fact that nobody's mind's eye is the same. Like, you know,
exactly.
You read a book, I read a book, we'll see two different things.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Like, it'll never be what you imagine unless you do it. So,
Well, if there's any silver lining, it's like at least it was no Dark Tower. And Dark Tower
was another Stephen King book
that was adapted this year, and it was just so trash.
Really?
I'm on book number 7 of The Dark Tower. So, as a book reader, it's like literally like. It's not like, as a book reader, it's not like the movie is so bad, but the missed potential is really what blows. Because, like, you've got such great books and characters in The Dark Tower that, like, a lot of characters are just disregarded in the movie version. You know, they simplified it so much
That's
to a point where it was like, why did you even try?
Right,
like, if you're
going
to aim
bother?
So low, why even, like, you know what I mean? Like,
that was some of my frustration with it. I feel like they had so much supplemental, like, BS in one way or another that like they could have sacrificed a lot of that and built better story, like, and then I think, like, I don't know, something about filmmakers of like horror today or maybe just of thrillers, you know, I miss Hitchcock, goddammit, like you know what I mean, like, I don't know, they don't build any investment as a viewer in the characters.
Mm-hmm.
They don't make you really love the characters enough before they start torturing them so that you feel for those characters that are being tortured. Like, we're so numb as a society already that is like, well, fuck it, like, they cut his arm off, like, who the fuck cares? Like, you know, but if we watch them sort of like suffer a little bit and struggle and, like, you know, you kind of champion their ups and downs, like, that's why The Walking Dead is so good, like, you know, shouts to the writers of that, like, because they develop this story in a way that you are so attached to these characters, even the bad ones, like, yo, you're attached to them, and, like, when they go, it's gut-wrenching, you're like, oh, shit, like, you know what I mean, like, it's so gripping, but, like, in movies, which is why it's, like, less and less, like, my favorite film platform, there's not a lot of time. And so development, character development is shorter.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas in TV, man, like, you can go seasons. You can develop a character for a whole fucking, like, Glenn, the character that they killed off in Walking Dead, like, spoiler alert, whoever didn't fucking know that. But, like, yo,
they uploaded the first episode and then I had to, like, re-go back and, like, put in spoilers because we talked
so
all
much.
About Mother. And I was like, oh, shit, I hope no one's, like, listening. It's like, oh, like, let me see what these guys think. And
right.
No, like, all right, spoiler alert.
But, yeah, like, yo, he was in episode 1. I think they killed him in season 6?
Yeah.
or five or something. Yeah. Like, so, yo, you were with this motherfucker for five years. Yeah. Like, so you're like, that's your man's. Yeah. Like, you see him in the street, you're like, ah, you want to go hug that nigga. Yeah. So when they killed him on camera, like, yo, that's that was a rough
death. I'm not a Walking Dead watcher, but I heard
oh was a rough death. Oh my god, yo. There's been worse on Walking Dead, I think. But shit, that one was it because of who it was also. Yeah, like yeah. It was just so gruesome and so upfront and in your face. Yeah. Like, but yeah, you know, I think we should get back to that as filmmakers of movies. Like, yo, get back to developing character development. That's key, man.
Look, that's why I think when it comes to frights, that you gotta, or you know, this horror scary genre, I think that's why you gotta give it to Jordan Peele, man, for what he did with Get Out. Very Hitchcockian sort of scares. At least he was trying to just poke and prod, an hour and 20, and then just like boom, 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 like at the end there. Because by the end, you are invested, you know right. what I mean? Like, you could say, you know, a lot of the shit at the end transpired fast, but you were very invested in this guy, you know, up until that, you know.
It's a roller coaster ride. Yeah. Like, yo, you go up. Like, the longest part of the roller coaster is the going up part. Yeah, exactly. The drop is like 30 seconds, but it's well worth it because that whole creep to the top is suspense. Like, yo, it's building in suspense. I just watched The Rope by Hitchcock.
Oh, that's a great
That film. One is great. Like, yo, there's such a build because... Yo, you know what happens in the beginning. You develop so much investment in the characters. They're charming, even the bad ones. Yeah. Like,
there's one cut, right? Or something like that. There's like one cut in Rope.
It is long take. It's like track shot. The cuts
are like they go into someone's like back. Or and like then, it's like there's literally like one cut in that
damn,
film.
Damn, Hitchcock no, was real.
Like that go, was go, that was the only reason I had watched it. For that, really? I think I was in college when, you know, they were like, oh, like, there's one cut in this film, you know, wrote by Hitchcock. So, yeah, no, that was a dope movie, and there's definitely a lot happening in it.
They're doing a Hitchcocktober at at the City Cinema on
86.
No, in St. Mark's.
Oh, okay. Oh, City Cinemas East?
Yeah. Oh, okay, yeah. Yo, or Village Cinemas. I'm thinking about...
Not for sure. Shit, yo, like, there's a Hitchcock documentary coming out soon, too. About the shower scene in Psycho.
In Psycho, yeah.
Which is like, it looks like a great film. The documentary, at least. What is it called? 58 by 72 or something like
something
that?
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, man, shout out to Hitchcock.
Shit, he's, man. One of the greats, for sure. Yeah. In that genre, like...
In any genre.
It all stops... Honestly. With a baby, we'll say, at the age of 6 months, and the mother says, boo, and scares the hell out of the baby, gives it the hiccups, and then the baby giggles. There's its first moment of fear. Later on, it's on a swing, getting higher and higher, and catching its breath when it goes too high. And so it goes. We all enjoy, shall we say, putting our toe in the cold water of fear.
Honestly,
you know,
yeah,
he understood the audience. He understood people and
psychology.
What made them
yo,
tick.
Like yeah, he has a whole book, I think, just alone on psychology. Yeah. Like, yeah,
and it's like even just understanding people is not enough necessarily to, and knowing what makes them tick is not even enough to go and make a successful horror film. You know what I mean? Like, he understood filmmaking and the human mind so well, and just like just masterfully. Like, made films that affected people.
Yo, right? And then also, like, yo, you have to appreciate that this guy, like, he didn't, like, when he didn't have big budgets, like, yo, he made shit. Like, he crafted shit. I forgot what film it is, but, like, there was a scene where, like, I think there's, like, a creeping hand or something like that, and he made, like, this big dummy hand for the scene, like, out of, like, you know, like plaster of Paris or some shit. Like, you know, but it looked authentic and it like helped. Like, the lack of budget and the lack of a bit. Like, today we lean so hard on CGI and shit like that. Like, that no one gets creative. Like, Cecil B. DeMille used to make all his sets from like cardboard and like, you know, damn it, plaster of Paris, like nothing. And he would, yo, watch a Cecil B. DeMille film. Like, yo, if you've ever seen Ten Commandments, that's a Cecil B. DeMille film. Like, his sets are crazy. Yeah. Like, and that's no CGI, bro. Yeah. Like, that's like handmade
is that,
shit.
Is that as easy to do today on large scales, though, with what? Just what audience are expecting to see or
Yo,
have seen?
I think...
The film has to be... You know what I mean? When you do that, the film has to be good, because if your film is bad and your budget is low, it's very... you know, there's no CGI to lean on. Like you said, like a lot of films lean
on CGI. Of course.
But you couldn't lean on... I mean, maybe you could lean on your effects back in those days because there were so much fewer effects.
I don't think you could, because, like, yo, my dad likes B movies so mm-hmm. bad. So, like, I've watched shit like, you know, just like, what is it? Samson or some shit.
Okay, yeah,
where
yeah.
it has, like, the claymation, Cyclops dude yeah. or some crazy shit like that. And it looks really bad. Like, yeah. but you buy into it at that time, of course, because that's what's there. Yeah, like, yeah. you know what I mean? So, I don't think at that time you could really, like, buy into it or mm-hmm. lean completely make your whole film on that. Sure. But like, yo, I feel like, okay, for example, like Lord of the Rings is like one of my faves, like as far as like a big budget sort of like grandiose sort mm-hmm. of film, like, you know, in league with like Harry Potter and shit like that. But I kind of put that I put Lord of the Rings over.
I mean,
Harry
I would
Potter,
hope so.
But
Harry Potter is, you know, it's great for what it is. But,
right, but you know. Lord of the Rings is a little more. It's different.
It's deeper.
Different, yeah,
for sure.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not look. The Harry Potter fans will come for your neck.
I'm not trying
to say that they're bad, but shit. They're not Lord of the Rings. I'm not even crazy about Lord of the Rings either. But it's just levels to it.
Yeah,
know what I mean.
But. Yo, their first three installments, like, they were great. Like, not CGI heavy.
Yeah.
The only CGI character you had was Gollum. And that was, like, CGI, but they had, like, I don't know
motion,
what it's called.
It motion capture?
Right, yeah. With Andy Serkis,
those,
right?
Those are real performances.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So you have a guy in a suit a black suit with some shit that looks like tennis balls all over him, and he's moving around doing all the movements of Gollum. Mm-hmm. Shout out to Andy Serkis, right?
Yeah, Andy Serkis is Oscar.
Oh, man.
Late.
This guy, he also does Caesar. Yo, he does everybody, bro. He's the beast.
Yeah.
Like, Andy
His
Serkis
Oscar
is
late.
But, sure. So, yo, that was the only CGI dude. But then in The Hobbit, the new installment, all the orcs that they normally had put in costume with, like, the silicone or like whatever they used that looked so great in Lord of the Rings, they cheapened it and they went for CGI in The Hobbit, and it looked bad. Like it took away from the luster of the film, and like it sort of took you out. Like, it's like, you know, in Who Framed Roger Rabbit, even though that's different, it takes you out of reality when you see a cartoon next to a human. Like, and I don't give a fuck how good your CGI is. It's the same shit for me. Like, yeah, I know that that's fake, bro. Yeah, like, you're not fooling me.
Yeah.
If you're going to, supplement with CGI, but don't make it everything. Like,
exactly.
That's what I appreciate about old films. Like, it keeps that, it keeps you grounded in the reality of the film.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean?
That's what, I mean, and we're supposed to talk about, this is a perfect segue into one of the trailers we're supposed to discuss, because Guillermo del Toro's fucking amazing.
Man, that shit looks great.
Yo, and he's like, he's got this great history with making these fantastical characters with just excellent costumes.
Go see Pan's fucking Labyrinth.
Please.
Bro.
If you haven't seen, I'm still trying to get my girlfriend to watch that.
Oh, man. I'm about to watch that tonight.
Yo, for real. Like, every time I think about it, I'm like, I want to watch this film right now.
Yeah.
But like, he's just, his costumes are so great. And it's like, he's a filmmaker that shows that you damn near don't need CGI. I mean, he's got some of his fairy characters, but like, if you want to dedicate to costume, you can do damn near everything.
Man,
like,
costuming
CG
is
has
part
come
of...
up, but costume has come up since, you know, the old age of filmmaking, the olden days of filmmaking. So, I mean, like, usually some of the stuff he's doing with costume, it's like, it's unbelievable. And the Shape of Water trailer, which is Guillermo del Toro's next film.
I deliver.
What'd you say to me? What is she saying?
What is she saying?
She is saying thank you.
Go check that
Go
trailer
check
out.
That shit
It
out.
Looks like he's doing more of the same. And I like him getting back to that fairy tale vibe that he had with Pan's Labyrinth.
Did he branched off for a minute?
Yeah, I mean, well, you know, he kind of started with horror. He did a lot of horror, and then... after Pan's Labyrinth, which is like his first adult fairy tale film, if you want to call it that. He did, you know, he did the Hellboy movies, the first two,
right.
which was his foray into Hollywood. And then he did Pacific Rim, which was another Hollywood film, which I thought, you know, for what it is, I thought it was great. Yeah. You know what I mean? Because, yeah, and I feel like that was him just trying to have fun and just trying to give you like a robot slash like mecha suit film that wasn't Transformers and that like tried to offer like sort of different things while being very much the same thing. And I thought Pacific Rim was great, and I think that was, you know, the last film he's done. I know there is a Pacific Rim 2 coming out, and I don't know if he's directing it, but he's definitely involved. Okay. Yeah, John Boyega is, and we could actually pull that up, too. There's, like, a teaser, but as far as The Shape of Water goes, like, damn. Like, I feel like he's found his back in form, you know what I
mean?
And
you can look at his films and tell that's his work. They always have like a noir,
they have that look,
and it's very just him, like he puts it, I really like filmmakers that can do that, and it's a hard thing I think to do, is like put your stamp on your art, like so that you know, like, yo, this is this person.
And it calls back to Pan's Labyrinth, because that film also had that look, but I don't think every one of his films has this look.
It doesn't.
But the Hellboy films have the Hellboy films look. And the Pacific Rim 2 looks like it has the look of Pacific Rim, you know, just visual style. And then his horror films have, you know, their specific looks. I'm trying to... There were a few... was it Dante's Inferno?
He did that?
I think so.
We got the world in our hands and we battling.
Like. Yeah. But no, I mean, but like, yeah, he's just he sets mood. He creates a mood very well. And I think that's like, the more you watch film and the more you get into making it, you find that that's probably one of the hardest things to do.
Oh, just man. I mean, that's art in general. You know? Like, yo, even in photography, I'd be like, damn, son. Like, that which I see with my eye, like the atmosphere, the feeling that I'm trying to capture, yo, if you pick up a camera and click, you're not getting that shit. Like, you're not necessarily just going to get that atmosphere. Like, there's something about the way that you capture an image, like, that creates a certain mood or captures the light, because that's what you're really doing. Like, the way you capture the light, like, yo, makes for a certain mood and a certain atmosphere. And it's like, yo, these are moving Crimson images.
That was another horror foray he did. And I heard it was a beautiful film as far as horror film, but 100% real sets. Heard it was beautiful, but story wise, it was like lacking. You know, The Strain was a television show he participated in. He did Blade 2.
Really? But Blade 2 was like the best Blade.
Yeah.
So shouts to him on that. Like, that's dope.
Yeah. He did, I know he produced. Have you ever seen that film, The Orphanage? Not The Orphan, The Orphanage.
No.
Spanish language. I know he was a producer of that. That was a crazy horror film. But anyway, he's A1 filmmaker. Like.
Yeah, yo.
And I think as far as like filmmakers go, he presents himself to be very personable and very much just like a film lover and like a, you know, like a, very much a nerd in that sense. Like him and like Tarantino and like those guys that like you see their interview and you see that like there's no frills about them. They just love movies.
This is how they are.
Like, yeah, he's like definitely he's one of those guys. So like, you know, even if you follow him on Instagram, like he makes fun of himself a lot. You know? He's just that kind of guy. But that trailer looks dope. I can't wait for that to come out personally. Like, I think it comes out in like December, and I don't know how I'm gonna wait that long.
I mean, I'm glad it's not like 2018.
Yeah. I mean, when I first saw the trailer, it was actually like, I feel like it was a little while ago. So there was a longer wait that I was like, oh, fuck. No, so that Shape of Water looks dope. I think that's the film I'm most excited about that's coming out. So.
I mean, you sent me this other trailer, man. I don't know.
Denzel?
Man.
Yeah. Let's get into that.
Mr. Ramirez was told he was not under arrest, and yet he was refused use of the bathroom. That's a violation of civil rights.
You can wait and address this at trial.
Oh, I would like to address it now. I'm just saying,
Mr. Israel,
if guards in this courtroom would not allow you to use the bathroom, you would, by all definition, be detained.
I'm going to hold you in contempt if you continue to pursue this.
You're asking me to obey an erroneous court decision. You tell me to wait. In my experience, wait.
Okay, find you in contempt.
Denzel Washington has a new movie coming out called Roman J. Esk.
Denzel.
Let's see.
What happened, Denzel? You got old.
It's called Roman J. Israel Esquire. That's Denzel Washington's next film. Let's talk about it. Because I will forever defend Denzel's name as an actor. I think he's an amazing actor. And I think there are very few actors today that captivate the screen like he does. Adam may disagree, but listen, he brings his A game to every work and every role, and he's an actor. To me, he's not like, I don't look at him as like a movie star. I look at him as an actor that chooses, you know, his roles today may be a little off brand, but he definitely sticks to his, like, his guts. He sticks to his adult themes. I don't think I've ever seen him. I haven't seen him in a PG-13 movie in a minute. No. He usually sticks to R now. He doesn't really do franchises.
No.
Like, he seems to me that he just picks roles that sound interesting.
He does his one-offs, but they all seem to be within the same genre, which is, you know, like, the adult sort of very,
the adult,
like,
drama.
Like, very grounded in some sort of gripping drama, like legal.
Which is lacking nowadays. You know, we don't get a lot of those dramas for adults, you know what I mean? It's either like a PG-13 superhero movie or action movie.
I mean, I'm glad for the break away from that. It seems like we've had a breath of fresh air from that sort of stuff.
Yeah, I think the R-rated movies are sort of coming back in fashion, but...
But, I don't know, like, this film, you know, it looked...
Yeah, I don't know what to take from it. It definitely...
You aging bad. Come on, Denzel.
I mean, look, if I read this synopsis on paper, and that it was going to be starring Denzel Washington, I'd be very excited for this movie.
On paper.
Reading it and reading the synopsis and the cast, I'd be like, this is going to be fucking great.
And this trailer
And it was very confusing.
Fuck.
The trailer jumps around.
Oh, my God.
It jumps around so much.
Yo, the trailer, read a fucking article on this. Yes. Don't watch the trailer.
It's called Roman J. Israel Esquire.
Please.
The name is confusing.
Whoever edited the fucking trailer, kill yourself.
I think it's like, David Fincher actually who talks about how much he... No.
Oh.
David Fincher talks about how much he hates
trailers?
The trailer editors.
Oh, my. They're so
Hollywood
bad.
Is so, like,
they either tell you everything. That,
yeah.
That, yo, in The Shape of Water, I was kind of upset. Yo, actually, shout out to the actors in Shape of Water, because a lot of them were in my favorite HBO TV show, Boardwalk Empire. A lot of them. Like Michael Shannon. Fuck, the guy
the bald
that is
dude,
a, huh?
The bald dude.
Nah, the doctor dude with the hair slicked back.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he was in that shit too. Like, yo, there's a lot of guys. This is a solid cast. Like, this shit is gonna be good.
Yeah.
But back to my discretion with that, even the Shape of Water trailer, like, I think they show Michael Shannon getting shot.
Yeah, they do show that.
And I'm like,
yeah.
Why would you do that? Yeah, like, we didn't need that. Like, does he... I mean, now it's a question of, does he die or not? But, like...
Or, like, how... You know, in what context is that scene?
Right, he may not actually have gotten shot. He's holding his chest. It looks like it's a gunshot wound.
Yeah, but it could be a dream.
He could have
stabbed.
He could have got bitten. But still, like... I'm not gonna fucking... No, he got shot and you guys ruined the whole fucking film. Yeah. Like, you know? Like, I don't know what's wrong with you guys. Yeah. Like,
because,
you not want the film to
do
well?
Here's what it is. People that edit trailers, and directors have said this, what they look at it as in, this film sucks, or this film's gonna suck, and it's my job to get people that want to see it.
Right.
To get people to want to see it. So, like, I guess that's how they approach it in their own head, so that they're pulling the most enticing parts. But, like, I mean, I don't know, man.
I want to edit a trailer, goddammit.
Yeah.
Because I really, like, and I have little to no editing experience. But, like, goddammit, like, I know how to tell a story. Like,
I think, America's definitely gone a little crazy with the trailers. Like, I've seen trailers for trailers. So, like... It's getting carried away, like, and now, like, before you watch a trailer, there's, like, a quick little sum up of what you're gonna see in the trailer, like, right before it starts.
Right.
I'm like, there's no, like, what's the point? And then there's, like, there's, like, premiere dates for trailers and stuff like that. It's getting a little crazy. I don't know.
And there's different trailer releases. Like,
yeah.
Like, the closer you get to the film, another trailer will come out. And then the trailer, like, yo, it's to the point where, like, if you get five trailers... you could probably edit them in sequence and make the fucking movie.
In like, general, why does the film need five trailers?
Yo, it's ridiculous.
It's you know what I mean? It's like, all right, like, I get on one respect, in one aspect, you're probably releasing that first trailer damn near a year before the film comes out, right? So you're going to want to put out, so you're going to want to put out something else later, but like, five trailers, you know what I mean? And then it's like, we get the interviews and we get clips, and it's like, after a while, there's very little of the film you haven't seen.
There's no mystique.
By the time you go sit down in the theater.
Yeah, like, you get those, like, 30-minute in-between trailer shits. Like, yeah. And it's just like, all right.
It's like, oh, like, this is in between the trailer.
Right, like, exactly. Like, this is what came before that other part in the trailer. Like,
that's what you're saying to yourself by the time you're actually sitting down in the theater.
Yo, and sometimes I hate when movies, like, show the beginnings of a movie in the trailer. Like, I don't know, like, or like, yo, that was like my discrepancy with fucking what was this film that I saw? Fuck. Miss Piggy? What was this shit called?
Patty Cakes.
Yeah. God damn, Miss Piggy.
Oh, man.
Yo, like, yo, there's a scene where she's like flying off into space, like stepping off into.
I saw that scene in the trailer.
And that shit looked crazy in the trailer. I'm like, woo! I don't know what the fuck starts that up, but like, I'm like, this bitch gotta be high. Like, yo, she smoked some dope just now. Like, and then, yo, I go to the movies and like, that shit is like the opening scene. Like, and I'm just like, that's ass. Like, nothing even. There was nothing that. You know, led up to that shit was just like, okay, like, all right. That was like your best shot in the whole film, and you blew your load in the fucking in the first 5 minutes, my nigga. Like, and then no capitalization on any sort of like any of that like dreamlike cinematography. Mm-hmm. Like, the rest of the shit was pretty like regular. Yeah, like, why would you do that? Mm-hmm. That's fucked up. Like,
but. Anyway, all right, so getting back to Roman Israel Esquire, Denzel's new film. For as bad as the trailer looks, I was surprised to find out that it's the same director as Nightcrawler.
Yeah, me too. I was kind of sad about that.
Because that was a good movie. Yeah,
I really did like Nightcrawler.
So like, I feel like that's maybe... I'm holding on to that maybe the trailer just wasn't a good representation.
But Nightcrawler's trailer was great. But the trailer editors are always different.
Yeah, so I don't know. And honestly, look, like I said before, I think Denzel Washington is an amazing actor. And he elevates a film. No matter how you want to look at it, there are very few actors that will maintain integrity as the story of a film falls apart around them. Denzel Washington is one of those characters, like, is one of those actors. You will see him in a bad movie, and you will be like, but damn, he's great, though.
You know, I used to really like Denzel, like, growing up, like, you know, when I was younger and immature and naive.
Don't let anybody ruin Denzel for you. He's a great actor.
Yo, Denzel is a fortunate man.
Oh, don't do that.
Because he's a character actor that gets lead roles. Like, that's a rarity. Like, you don't have that. Like, so, shout out to Denzel.
He is a character
and his
actor,
agent.
Which is not bad. What's wrong with being a character?
Nothing is wrong.
As long as you devote to your characters, which he does, is the only reason why they come out so fully full-fleshed. You know what I mean? Like, there'll be movies where he's in where it's like the character is more developed than the story of the film. And that's because Denzel, in my opinion, puts that work into those roles. No matter what the role is, you know what I mean? He puts the jelly on it. That's how it goes, right? He puts the butter on the roll, for sure.
I just feel like, you know, Denzel, he just, I don't know, man. Like, do something different to me,
man. Is there a difference between Malcolm X, Denzel,
and any other Denzel.
And this Denzel we have
any
today.
Yo, I feel like for Malcolm X, and I think if you even listen to him in interviews, like, yo.
Malcolm X was a serious film fan.
Oh, he took Malcolm X to the fucking hilt. Yeah. Like, and that's sort of my discrepancy with Denzel. Same thing with Jamie Foxx.
Like, but see, I think that's what he does to every role. But of course, when your next role is Malcolm X, you're going to take that process even further. You know what I mean? Like, that...
But that was what an he early did, film
for him. If you don't know, Denzel, he stopped. He didn't do any films, I think, for a year or two before Malcolm X. He studied the Quran. He put in a huge amount of devotion to playing Malcolm X.
He took it very, very seriously. Yeah. I mean, to the point where he said, I think he said he had stopped smoking and drinking for the film.
Yeah.
And I think he was like trying to stop smoking and drinking for a while. Yeah. Like, after that. And like, he said it was a spiritual experience for him. Like, he took that film very seriously and it came off. Like, there's not a moment in that film that I look at
that's not believable.
Don't see Malcolm X instead of Denzel. Like, that shit is so synonymous that it's like, that's like, if you show me a picture of young Denzel in the clothes of Malcolm X, I'm like, that's Malcolm X.
He doesn't even look that much like Malcolm X.
He did that good a job. Yeah. Like, that's how fucking phenomenal an actor he has the potential to be, but he's a fucking bum because he doesn't.
I mean, look, but not he. He's not gonna do the Malcolm X process with every role. But I think he brings an amount of respect to certain roles that other actors might feel like is just like whatever for them. You know what I mean? Like I watch him in. You watch him in like a film like John Q. Like. It's an incredible, like, you believe that he's a father of a son that needs a heart transplant the entire, and you feel that strain, and, you know, he really does a good job at playing an everyman as well. And he does that also in Taking of Pelham 1-2-3.
Did you see,
The Equalizer. I thought he did a great job in The Equalizer.
I didn't see that. It was
his last, like, sort of big action film. But that movie would not be good if Denzel Washington wasn't playing that character. But he makes it believable because, you know, I feel like in the action genre, there's like a thing as of late where we're going to focus less on stories and focus more on characters and a person.
Okay.
And I think, and I'm not mad about it because I think it's made some great action films like John Wick. It's like, it's not very much about the story. It's about John Wick. It's like, all right, we're not, the story of John Wick is
it's a revenge story.
It's a retired assassin. He's like living a normal life. His wife dies, and all this is in the first 5 minutes. And then his house gets invaded, and they kill the dog that his wife bought from before, you know, when she died. And the whole that sets him back into the world of assassin. It's all revenge off that very simple plot. But the story is about the John Wick.
Right.
And there's a lot of jokes where it's like, oh, that's John Wick. Like, you know, you got John Wick back in the game. Like, I want no parts of this. You know what I mean? Right. So, like, I think John Wick sort of opened up that door. And then since then you have, like, Atomic Blonde, which is, like, not so much about the story, but just about that character that Charlize Theron plays.
I think Atomic Blonde was a little more dynamic than John Wick. You can't put it in a
sentence. Honestly, I don't know what Atomic Blonde was about. Really? I saw the movie. I do not know what it was about.
I kind of like that it was
very confusing, but I was with it for Charlize Theron's presence and the devotion to the choreography of the fight scenes. Like, I was with all of that. The story to me wasn't even that important. Mm. But, like, I know it had something to do with a list. I know the Berlin Wall was coming down. But, like, it's hard for me to really tell you what that story about. John Wick, I could tell you the story about because it's so simple.
Right, right.
And
you think Atomic Blonde was too wrapped up in a lot of other stuff?
No, I just thought that they should have just had a simpler story, or they tried to make me care about this story when that's not what I was in the theater to see. You know what I mean? I went into it knowing that there was going to be crazy action scenes and that the people that did John Wick were involved in it. So, like, I was already down for, like, very little story from the get-go.
I just was so confused about the love dynamic because she, like, fucks the chick, but then, like...
And that was another... Yeah, like, I mean...
Isn't really... Like, it was weird.
Yeah. I guess she did have feelings for her. I think she just felt, like...
Sorry for her.
Yeah, like, she felt for her. You know, it was her, like, first assignment or whatever.
Right. And she ends up dying anyway.
But, yeah. But I thought John Wick, though, like... Listen, that movie for me is... That's like action caviar. You know what I mean? Like, that is like, it's everything you want, at least I want in an action movie. And it's okay to not have a thick story, especially in a film like that. You know what I mean? Like, if you can impress me with what you set out to impress me with, then that's great.
Right. I mean, as long as if you package it like that, and it's like a, you know.
Yeah. And the second one was, I mean, it's hard to say the second John Wick was better than the first one because it delivered just as much. And I know there is a third one coming out.
Jesus.
And I hope it delivers, because it would suck to have. So far you got two great movies.
Because usually second one is trash.
Right? Yeah. That's what the same thing I was thinking. I was very nervous going into the second one, but it delivered for sure. But you know, so as far as Denzel goes, I forgot how we got there. I guess we were talking about The Equalizer, but
if you made Nightcrawler, bro, like,
I'll give you a shot.
Yeah, because Nightcrawler was solid. Like,
yeah,
and not to shit on character actors, because like I said, I think Denzel is a character actor. Like, a lot of my favorite actors are character actors, and I think that's sort of also like Michael Shannon, like, mm-hmm. that's the guy to me. Like, mm-hmm. and he's a character actor, but he's so dynamic, like, in the roles that he plays. Like,
an actor, what do you define as a character actor? Because for me, as a director, as someone that likes to write everything as a character. So, but when you say character actor, what's that? What are you?
I mean,
defining in that.
Classically, like, you had, like, in earlier film, like, you had guys that needed to, or you had roles that always needed to be filled. So, mm-hmm. you had very specific brands or, like, stories. Like, you would have a detective story.
Yeah, you had archetypes.
Right, exactly. So, you got Humphrey Bogart. He's either the detective.
Yeah.
Or he's, like, the bad guy.
Yeah.
Or something like that. And then you had these characters, right? These actors that always played very literally, yeah. like, the police officer.
Yeah.
Dead ass every fucking time you look up and you see this guy.
Yeah.
You know, that's the police officer. Yeah. That's either the commissioner.
Yeah.
Or, like, the beat cop or something. But, like, that nigga is a police officer. Yeah. Period, the end. Like, and through his whole career, that's what he did. And, like, you used to belong to a studio. So, say MGM. Like, you belong to MGM. Every time there was a police officer role, MGM threw you in. Like, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? And that's just how you got on. So now, translate that to nowadays, like, it's the same sort of thing. I categorize a character actor as any actor that, like, sort of stays in a very specific lane. Like, he has an archetype. Like, he has a mm-hmm. very specific role that he goes to play. Michael Shannon, I think, is breaking out of that, and he's one of the very dynamic character actors, but nonetheless, he's a character actor. Like, you know, you never see him play, you're not going to see him jump around in film genres very much. Like, mm-hmm. you're never going to see him do a comedy, like a Steve Carell sort of film, or like, you know, like Crazy Stupid Love or nothing like. Yo, he's usually in very dramatic films. Mm-hmm. He's, you know, a specific character in these films. Like, you know, that's a character actor. Whereas, like, you have, like, Leo, who's more or less all over the place. Like, or you have, like, Ryan Gosling, who's more or less all over the place.
Yeah, you know, Leo is walking a fine line because he's, like, he's almost in, like, that movie star
category. Oh, he, at this point,
at this one, like, he's gotta be. He does one movie a year, and it has to be huge.
And he's the same damn guy. Yeah. Like, yo, everybody was going crazy for Wolf of Wall Street, but I was like, did you see Great Gatsby? It's the same film.
And then, like, for me, Wolf of Wall Street was just way easier to sit through, though.
Yeah, that's true. Gatsby was hard. I mean, that's just F. Scott. Like, F. Scott Fitzgerald, like,
yeah, and well, to me, Gatsby was just, I feel like they're, because they got Baz Luhrmann, and Gatsby to me was just a lot of flair and not a lot of that same heart that's true. Book had.
It was fluffy.
Yeah.
But I liked it, you know? I don't like how they tried to modernize it with Watch Jay-Z the Throne the shit.
It was a lot. And I mean, you know, on paper, it kind of, it on does paper, have it was a good great. Ring to it, because we're talking about, you know, riches and rags to riches and, you know, like, you know, Jay-Z on the soundtrack is not an obvious misstep, but I think that, like,
it didn't translate on in light of the film. I mean, there's the one scene where I kind of liked it, but it was still kind of off for the film. It's like when they're on the highway.
That was
a dope scene. And you got like guys like playing trumpet.
I feel like I woke up a little bit in that.
Yo, like that was a dope scene, but like anywhere else, it just didn't sort of, it didn't fit. And like, you know, it's the third time at this film. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
they did
this
shit. I think the best one was Robert Redford. Like, that was like the best rendition.
Was that the last one?
The one before last. Yeah. There's one more right, like a couple years before the Robert Redford one. And then there's this large gap between the one that we have now. But yeah, so like, that's a character actor to me. And like, you know, like you got guys that like don't like Joaquin Phoenix. Man, he's not, in my opinion, a character actor at
it's
all.
It's hard to
place this him. Motherfucker is everywhere. Like,
did you see the trailer for his new film? Okay, yeah, okay. Joaquin Phoenix's new film was never really here. We'll check out the trailer.
Yo, and he looks like some damn yo.
Happy, this movie looks so trash. Happy Death Day.
Really?
Yeah. You think you have you seen?
I think it'll be interesting. Like,
it's a Kara Groundhog Day.
Yo, that's exactly what it is. This is the one where she dies over and over again, right?
Yeah, she's trying to piece together her murder before she dies.
I kind of like that concept. Like,
I mean, I like horror films with like fun.
Yeah, quirks. Yeah, because it makes you take it. It's not as serious. Which is kind of the problem with horror films. Like,
exactly.
They try to be serious to the point where they are comical anyway.
Yeah,
so it's cuts to the chase.
Yeah.
Like, and then it has the...
All right, we're going to go ahead and skip this. Oh,
yeah, it has the upside of, like, you already don't take it seriously, so they can, like, slam you over the head one time when they hit you with some real shit.
Yeah. All right, this is Joaquin Phoenix. What do you do?
Why do you have Spanish subtitles?
Oh, this is French, first of all. I don't know. Oh, it's called A Beautiful Day. Sorry.
I mean, this is another...
I think in, like, America, it's called I Was Never Really Here, and in French, it's called
November.
Le
oh, that's November. Why it was in... It's a French film.
Yeah.
I mean, this trailer was also fairly jumpy. But I'm
it's jumpy to, like, they're not trying to tell you the story. Not, like, they're showing you a lot of things.
Right.
In
and
a
then,
sequence like that. It
I was
going to
say, this was more
rhythm.
Cohesive.
Yeah. I
but,
feel like Denzel and that, there's a difference between a trailer that's trying to, like, tell you the whole story of the movie. And it jumps around showing you scenes almost like they're
this
trying to
was
make
kind
one
of
scene
like, this
of
was trying to get you excited.
Yeah.
From a visual perspective.
Yeah.
As opposed to, like, telling, because you kind of can get the feel like he's either like a hitman or some sort of like man for hire.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's like government ranking level. Like, but the Denzel shit, the way they started, like they showed you consecutive scenes. This was like clips. It was like boom, 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 boom. Where Denzel was like, yeah, like let me show you some funny shit.
Yeah,
let me show you this other funny. Like the whole bit with the girls.
Why are the brothers?
Let's play that shit too.
Sisters.
I gotta see that again. Like, each one of us is greater than the worst thing we've ever done. I also think this movie is already trying to be too many things.
Mm-hmm.
It wants to be a grounded drama.
Yeah.
With a big ass splash.
Yeah.
Of action, like, you know, which is like. I feel like that's for young Denzel. Like, you know what I mean? That's like, what's the shit?
I would have loved to see, this is John Turturro all over it for me. Like, have you seen The Night Of?
No.
This miniseries with John Turturro?
No. Oh, I want, where they're on the boat and shit?
Nah. That's the one where he's a lawyer for this dude who's in jail for murdering this girl, but he didn't.
Oh, that's the HBO shit? Nah, that was all over the place.
This reminded me of his lawyer character.
Okay, I didn't see that one. No. I think my friend was in that, actually. Wow, that's weird. But, I remember hearing of that. But, it could be good. I'm not going to say it won't. Seeing it again, I'm like, you know, it could be interesting.
Yeah.
But it just it has a lot of it could easily flop, in my opinion. Like, it could easily. And I feel like, yo, more and more movies are, like, flopping. Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, there needs to be something new to drum up, you know. I think filmmakers need to talk about shit that's actually relevant to the American people, because
we don't give a fuck. Yo, that's why you gotta see Good Time. Go see Good Time. It's one of those films that, like, it hits and it taps into so many unseen people and places on screen. You know what I mean? And I think that's why it's super successful. Aside from the fact that Robert Pattinson's, like, incredible in this film. I had no respect for Robert Pattinson as an actor. Because all I'd known him from was Twilight.
Right. Now, I knew he was a creative. He played the guitar for, like, this really weird band that I fuck with one for one song. Like, he played the guitar for Death Grips.
Oh, for real?
For one song. Yeah, and I was like,
nah. I know he dates FKA Twigs.
And I was going to say, when he's FKA Twigs, you gotta be weird.
She's like the Erykah Badu of, like, for rappers.
Dead ass. Like, you gotta be. I mean, they've broken up now, thank God. They are? But yeah.
No, nah.
Yeah.
For real? She got a special thanks in the credits of Good Time. I was like, I know he got her to, like, I don't know,
I mean, maybe sound she work, is there any choreography in there? Is there any, like,
nah? I feel like it has to be musically, like, yeah. I don't know, because Good Time, it was definitely a labor of love film. And, like, the interesting thing about Good Time is, so the directors, the Safdie brothers, they did some, like, really low key underground New York film that Robert Pattinson saw a screenshot of, and apparently what he saw in the screenshot was just so powerful, he was like, I have to work with these guys.
That's crazy.
So, like, a lot of the movie being able to get made was due to the fact that Robert Pattinson was
shout to Robert Pattinson, yo, because that, like, he's gone through the trials and tribulations that I'd be, like, struggling with. Like, yo, you did a bullshit movie like Twilight, like, I would never, like, seeing how creative a person he seems to be now, like, yo, having to struggle through Twilight had to be a bitch. And, like, yo, those are the things.
The same,
like,
must be the same with Kristen Stewart, too. Because she's tried to make some really artistic moves post-Twilight.
Yo. And it's, I think it's
maybe
rough.
That's why both of them in that movie seemed a little bit flat. Weird. Maybe they really didn't care.
Kristen Stewart.
She has a more of an uphill battle acting, I feel like. She still doesn't necessarily do it for me.
She's like,
but
the,
she's made artistic moves.
She's the female Keanu Reeves to me.
Really?
Yeah, like,
I don't know. I like Keanu Reeves.
Keanu Reeves is dry.
Yeah.
And it works for certain films. Yeah, like, Matrix, great. Yo, he's, like, in Constantine, killed it for me. Like,
he's made for John Wick.
Yo.
With the dry, yeah.
But, yo, did you, yo, me and Bae watched Knock Knock? Oh, my fucking God. It's a horror film with the two girls, like, they come to his house. That shit was so bad. So
who did that?
I have Eli Roth.
That was Eli Roth's film.
Like, what were you thinking about?
I remember when that was coming out, and then, like, it came out and then no one heard anything.
Yo,
like, it disappeared.
It was trash. Yeah, it was, like, so, like, the saddest thing was, like, yo, I felt bad for the nigga. Like, he really didn't do anything. Like, yo, like, two girls came in his house, and he was like, yo, like, I'll help y'all because it's raining. They came in, and, like, yo, he was constantly telling them, like, yo, y'all gotta go.
Yeah.
And, like, up until the point where, like, they deadass get him in the shower and, like, fuck him. And then, like, from there, it's just like, well, you fucked us. Yeah. And so, like, yo, his life is over. And, like, the whole time he was trying to be a good guy. And, like, yo, to the point in the end, he has this whole monologue where he's like, you guys came to me. Like, it was free pizza. Yo, to the point where, like, that's such a quote now. Like, anytime, like, yo, there'll be posters. I'll be walking through St. Mark's and it'll be like, bars that are like, yo, free pizza with a beer. Me and Baby like, free pizza. Like, yo, it's such like a tagline. Like, yeah, if you're bored, if it's a rainy Sunday, you want a good laugh, go watch Knock Knock, yo. Yeah. Like, that shit is wild. Like, free pizza. Like, yo, and comment free pizza on this on this podcast if you go watch that shit. Like,
oh, man. Yeah, so we're going to wrap it up there. We talked about Agents. when do you get an agent? The New York City film scene, at least three trailers.
Background work.
Yeah.
You know, making it as an artist in New York.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We got the Roman J. Esquire trailer, or Roman J. Israel, I don't remember what it's called. Shape of Water.
Shape of Water, yeah.
And I'm sure that next week we'll have, like, I'll have everything to say about Blade Runner 2049.
I'm
seeing that on Sunday.
I gotta see Blade Runner.
No, yeah, and then we gotta try and set up Blade Runner before that movie comes out.
Yeah, definitely.
Because I hear it's not necessary, but I mean,
I still want to have a perspective. Yeah,
exactly. So look, you know, I'm seeing Blade Runner 2049 this weekend. Other than that, it's been real. This is Jordan Campbell, aka The Espresso, the.espresso on Instagram.
The only plug.
And you're not spelling espresso with an X, otherwise you're spelling it wrong. Jordan Campbell of BougieReviews.com. Please check it out.
And I'm Adam Glenn on Instagram. It's AR_GLENN. Check that out. I mean, I don't post much these days, but as soon as the photography builds up, I got y'all. Like,
yo, and this has been a Bougie Podcast, episode 2. Peace.